Can you tell us a little bit about your son, Alex?
Yeah. Alex was a little boy. He loved sports. He loved band. And he loved to be with his family. And he was a little boy that was, really growing up and learning how to manage his life. And it's just so sad that it all just is gone and that he's not here anymore. He was on the Parkland Recreational Basketball League and all. He played all of his friends. He didn't care about being on a winning team. He cared about being and playing with his friends. And we drafted all of his friends to be on his team. And then my father, Alex's grandfather, played the trombone in college at Ohio State. And so when Alex was going into middle school, our next door neighbor, who was the president of the band parent association at the time, said that Alex should try out for the band. And I know how much I liked it. I played the saxophone in high school, and I know that it's really good for kids. So I encouraged it, and he tested, and it was a scale of 1 to 5, and you try all the instruments, and he got a 5 on the trombone. And then he was talking to my father, what instrument should I do? And my dad was telling him, all the great experiences that he had. My dad tells him this story that as they were marching, he's on the trombone, and I guess he liked it because he was in back of the girls or something like that. And so, so Alex decided to play the trombone. It's kind of crazy. My father's telling me the story. And so Alex really took to it, and it was difficult because in Alex's middle school, there were 100 kids in his music class. And so I never understood how the band director is supposed to teach 100 kids all these different instruments and how the kids are supposed to grow. And he really liked it. So my next door neighbor, the president of the Band Parents Association, had just moved from Georgia, and they had a great tutor at the time. And I said, well, I want to use him. And, and so they actually started doing Skype lessons with Alex.
Oh, wow.
And when I tried it with Alex, Alex just loved it. He couldn't get enough of it. And his name was Mr. Scott. And Mr. Scott fostered a love of music in Alex and the trombone. And so he excelled. And then in seventh and eighth grade, that was in sixth grade, in seventh and eighth grade, I knew that in high school, the marching band doesn't use the trombone, they use the euphonium. So I said, well, Alex, how would you like to get a head start on high school and learn to play the euphonium before you even got there? And he said, that's a great idea, Dad. And by eighth grade, he was first chair. And, it was just great. And the reason he loved Mr. Scott was because Mr. Scott would take any music that Alex loved and turn it into a song and write the lyrics and teach him. And Alex's favorite song was 25 or 6 to 4, an old song. I guess, I love the 70s, and so I used to always have that on, and he loved it too. So when he got to high school, it was very difficult because that marching band in high school, they practice a lot more than middle school. They have a band camp 2 weeks after school starts and 2 weeks before school starts. And they're out there in the Florida hot sun from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. It was hard for Alex in the beginning because he was a little scrawny kid. And you had to hold that instrument up, that euphonium, for a long period of time. And it's difficult to get your marching down and focus on the music and holding your instrument up. But he noticed that as he practiced more and as he put more effort into it, he became a lot better. And I think one thing that taught him a lesson was he got demoted. So he was going to split time with another girl because he wasn't strong enough to hold it up. So for the whole marching band performance, and in high school in Florida, it's a big, big production. It's like putting on a Broadway show. They've got massive props. And they're moving props around in this performance, and it's a lot to manage as a freshman in high school trying to handle all this all at the same time. But he had a leg up on it. He already knew how to play the euphonium, and he appreciated that. And as he got stronger, what happened was, and as he worked harder, he got that spot back. And so he got his full spot back. He did the whole performance all by himself. And then I wanted, I was always, you know, I was there for his basketball games, and I wanted to also be there for his band. And so I was on the field crew as the parents. And we have an amazing field crew at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, you know, devoted parents. You have to have that with any band program because it's just so much work. And so we bought this 18-wheeler to store all of our instrument and our props, and we would take it to all of our performances. And then in October of 2017, was the state championship, and Marjorie Stoneman Douglas had always come in second place to a very talented school in north of us called Park Vista. Park Vista was an arts school, a fine arts school. That's all they did. And they had a tremendous amount of support from their parents and a big budget. And so they never could beat Park Vista, but Alex's first year, we went against them in the state championship and they won. And so the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Marching Band, the Eagle Regiment, became the state champions of the 5A band for the first time ever. And it was Alex's first year. So he must have been the good luck.
And Alex had a connection to UConn, like an intense connection, right? I mean, probably there are kids who go to high school literally on campus here who probably don't have the same connection.
Yeah.
What do you think accounts for that?
His mom went to UConn. His uncle went to UConn. And, you know, every time that he would come to the Northeast for the summertime and visit his relatives, he would come, you know, his uncle Paul would take him to campus here. And he was a big Celtics fan. You know, I think what would really was a neat experience for him was when his uncle and his Aunt Patty brought him to the ice cream store here on campus, and he met Ray Allen. Ray Allen was in there with his girlfriend, and Alex and his brother Ryan, just like their head almost exploded. Their idol was sitting right in front of them, and so they asked Ray if they could take a picture, and he was kind enough to take a picture with the boys. And then Alex, you know, just loved the sports programs and the basketball, and he always wore this UConn sweatshirt. I tried to get him. I said to him, Alex, I said, if you wear the same sweatshirt every day, people are going to think that you don't have any, I don't buy you any other clothes. And he says, Dad, he says, it does. He says, I don't care. He says, it's the most comfortable sweatshirt I have. And he didn't care. So, but he always wanted to come to UConn and be a Husky and follow in his family's footsteps.
So with all that, what was it like for you when you got that letter, that acceptance letter for Alex?
It was crazy. I was floored. This was early on when my life was just, I was just trying to come to grips with the enormity of the tragedy. And to hear, you know, the news, I was like, oh my God, you know, some good news, something, you know, people notice, people care. And it really touched our family. And it was a beautiful gesture of kindness to show that, you know, that, you know, they noticed that Alex loved UConn, and there are no words. I was just taken aback by it. I had never heard of something like that happening before, and I don't even know if UConn's ever done that before. So it was a really, really sweet gesture, and then they wrote me this letter stating that the band was going to put a ribbon on all their uniforms, and they were going to remember Alex at every game. It was amazing. It was amazing.
And tonight the marching band is going to pay special tribute by playing 25 or 6-4 at the opening game, the first game of the football season. What are you going to be thinking about during halftime?
I'm probably going to be crying. You know, Chicago, in my, I think this happened because in my eulogy, I mentioned that Alex loved UConn and he loved Chicago, and that was his favorite song. And then Chicago found that out. And then when they came to the Parkland area, they reached out to us and they donated over 1,000 tickets to the Parkland community for teachers, kids, therapists to come, law enforcement, first responders. And I gave out every ticket. I wanted everyone to come to celebrate this and have a good time, you know, even in the midst of this horrible tragedy. So, you know, that was wonderful. But I haven't been to a marching, I haven't seen any marching band perform since Alex performed his state championship and he won. So it's going to be very emotional for me to see a marching band perform, because I know Alex would have wanted to be there. And it's going to be very touching, and I really appreciate it. And I want to thank all the kids for doing it, and also Dr. Mills very, very much.
And you've also established the scholarship in Alex's name here for future band members. Why'd you decide to honor Alex's life that way?
Well, because, you know, I know how expensive college is. I started a scholarship at Marjory Stoneman Douglas to keep Alex's memory alive, and it just made a lot of sense. It's hard. These kids have huge debt coming out of college, and if Alex can help a little bit, and we could have a scholarship, and so that every child, you know, that comes in to UConn has an opportunity, the same opportunity that everyone else has, irregardless of their financial situation. I want to help everyone, and I know that Alex would want to also.
One of the ways that you've responded to this terrible tragedy is by working to make it less likely that it'll happen again in other places. Could you tell us about Safe Schools for Alex and the work that you're doing?
Yeah, that's a major, that's my passion right now. And after February 14th, I quit my job, and I set out on a mission to try to find out how I could make Marjory Stoneman Douglas safe, because Alex's brother was a senior there at the time, and Alex's sister is going to be there in a couple of years. And in my attempt to make Marjory Stoneman Douglas safe, I tried to find standards or best practices that we could use to fortify our school and make it safe for all the kids, because Marjory Stoneman Douglas is a campus of over 3,000 kids, 13 buildings. And it was just unbelievable to me to realize that there were no standards. There are no national school safety best practices. And then once I found that out, my next mission was to travel around the country to see what schools were making their protecting their teachers and their kids. And I found a school in Indiana called the Safest School in America. And I took a whole contingent of people from the sheriff, the superintendent, Department of Homeland Security officials, Department of Education officials. And when they saw that school, they said, oh my God, we've never seen a school like this before. And then that really convinced me that I was on the right track. And then in the last, you know, 6 months, I've been traveling the country. I testified in front of at the White House 2 weeks ago in front of the Federal Commission on School Safety. I've met with probably 35 to 40 different congressmen and senators, including the vice president, all the cabinet officials, telling them that we can make schools safe. And my evidence is that after 9/11, we hardened the cockpits in the airports. It's worked. We hardened the federal buildings after the Oklahoma City bombing, and that's worked. You know, for the last 19 years since Columbine, we have been focused on mental health and prevention, and hardening schools has been at the bottom of the list. We have to harden our schools to make these monsters think twice before they attack a school. They're attacking schools now because they're extremely soft targets, and you know, there's very little security. But I know that we can make our schools safe. Schools are doing it now, and my goal is to create these best practices. And then once I have these best practices, and I'm very close to actually doing that in conjunction with the Department of Justice. Once we have these best practices, then I want to travel around the country to help schools make them safe. And also I want to start issuing grants to schools that can't afford to make their schools safe, so that every child is not worried about getting shot in the classroom, and every teacher can teach and not worry about it as well.
We just really appreciate you telling us about Alex. Can you tell us how people can donate to the scholarship here at UConn?
Yeah, that would be great. That's one of my other missions today, is to raise an additional $25,000. If we could raise an additional $25,000 into the Alex Schachter Scholarship Memorial Fund, we would have enough money to indefinitely have this scholarship and have children benefit from Alex's life. Even though he's not here, he would be here in spirit forever, and especially at UConn. So that's my goal. So if it doesn't matter if you could donate, you know, $5 or $10 or whatever amount, every little bit helps, and it will help keep Alex's memory alive and help UConn. You can help donate in one of two ways. You could text UCMB, so that's UConn Marching Band, to 41444. And then also you could do it by going on the website, and that's s.ucon.edu/Schachter, and that's S-C-H-A-C-H-T-E-R.
Well, Max, thank you so much for speaking with us about this. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.